was told you were going to sing and thought maybe you had an accompanist that was going to be with you or a guitar or something, but what a spontaneous thing for you to do it anyway. And we are all blessed by that. It's a unique way to come into this time. Thanks for doing that. So this will be a different sort of message, service today. There won't be a sermon as such, but there will be a meditation on some Bible passages. I think it would be a waste not to spend some time in the Word of God on Sunday. So we'll spend some time looking at highlights from this past year, from the pastor's report. I'll share some reflections from the past 25 years as your pastor. And that actually will be the start of the congregational meeting when I do that. And Chris will be taking attendance. And so at the end of this hybrid message, sharing, reflection, we'll stop to install Ken as the interim pastor, since I'm retiring today, and Dennis Poost will install him officially. And after the installation, we'll have our potluck together, and Ken will take leadership of the meeting as the interim pastor. So right away, put him into service. Make him work. So first a meditation, then highlights of the pastor's report and some reflections, followed by the installation of Ken, and lunch, and then the annual meeting after that. So let's pray as we begin. Lord, there are turning points in history. There are turning points in congregations. There are turning points in our own lives. And this is one of those points for me today. And I thank you for the graciousness of this congregation and friends who are encouraging us as we take this step. And bless this meditation, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The one thing that we have in common as a congregation, everybody here, I'm trusting, is that we are followers of Jesus. Whatever role we may play in service or as members, as leaders, we're all together on this life journey. Margaret and I joined you, Jesus followers, in June 1992. And we were warmly welcomed back then. We had four young children, and we were brand new to town, but you accepted us immediately. I was soon invited to teach the adult Sunday school class, probably because I was a student and also working at Regent College. And a few years later, Mark Bassett, the young, exuberant, energetic pastor of Northwood, made a decision to resign and join mission work outreach. He and his wife, Carrie, and their two kids moved to Germany to care for missionary kids as Russia was opening up for Christian missionaries. And not long after that, I received a phone call that what I consider being the pastor of this church. There was no assessment done by outside consultants. There was no lengthy survey of the congregation, and there were not even extensive interviews of me. It was simple, maybe too simple. We might never have made it through something as thorough as what our church is going through now, 25 years later. So I applaud what we're doing. I think we're doing it the right way. So here today, this is my retirement date. A year ago today at our annual meeting, I said that I would be working, I would remain and retire at the time of the next annual meeting. And so we've got it, we're pulling it off. I bring up this one thing. Margaret and I began this journey of following Jesus as just another family on the road of life together with you. And we'd like to go back to that if we can. Normal people who attend church here, only now with a lot more friends. Friends in Christ. And that is important. We plan to show up for church services and sit in the back rows with the eagles and the Lears and who else? Yeah, the Rebuses. Yeah, there's some, you know, that's where they are. And sing songs of worship with everybody else and enjoy that and take communion just like anyone else. What we won't be doing is leading anything or setting any agenda or making decisions for this church. That will be the business of the governing board and the interim pastor leading the transition committee. That's their job. It will not be us. Margaret and I will return from time to time. We'd like to go visit some other churches, not because we're church shopping, but because we have lots of friends there. And I have been honored by the pastor's fellowship here, and I want to be able to go back and visit those in months ahead just to say thank you to them personally. But this will be our home church as long as we're allowed to be here sitting in the back. And then, you know, when the new pastor and his wife are selected, after they've gone through the process and the congregation votes to receive them, Margaret and I will withdraw permanently. Well, we will withdraw completely, I guess is a better way to put it, until that pastor and his wife and the leadership of the church feel that it's okay for the Gibsons to come back. We do that because we want to be sure that the new pastor is entirely accepted, in place, and functioning, and that we are not any kind of complication for that couple. I chose two scripture passages for this meditation, and I've titled it Friends in Christ, and one is from the Old Testament and the other from the New. So let's just take a look first at some verses from Psalm 92, a psalm of praise for the great benefits of knowing God. Here in verses 12 through 15, we read about the righteous. Some time ago, Brendan Walter pulled out the Bible that he was carrying as we stood in the back, and he said, "Look, Charles, look at this." And he pointed out these verses because we both were approaching the age of retirement. And so there's some words in here that are encouraging for that, but also words of encouragement for all of us. First, we see the use of imagery of trees in desert climates. The psalmist declares, "Two trees flourish in the house of the Lord." Let me read it. "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God." Now, palm trees put down deep roots in dry places. They are a welcome sight because when you're out in the desert and there's no water around, the presence of palm trees says, well, there is water somewhere down here. Sometimes it's an oasis. In the Bible, a beautiful woman is often compared to a tall, graceful palm tree. So they are considered beautiful. But they're useful as well. They bear fruit that are sweet to eat. The sap from the tree can be a liquid treat. The branches can be used to make shade or even a roof for a shelter. And we see palm branches used to celebrate the arrival of royalty. We use them here every year on Palm Sunday to celebrate King Jesus on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem before he was crucified. The other tree is the cedar of Lebanon, legendary in the Bible for the wood and fragrance that they produce. Cedar trees can survive in rocky soil. Their hardwood is considered for excellent furniture or musical instruments. And the psalmist then makes another point about both of these trees. They both bear fruit even as they age. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." I believe it's the desire of every mature Christian to bear fruit. Here is encouragement for all of us to continue serving the Lord right to the end. Recently, I enjoyed being with Ma B in the hospital. That's Bev's mother, Pat Burnett, in hospice care at St. Joe's. This is days before she passed away. And she was full of joy, and she was praising God, and she even burst into singing as I was with her. Right to the end, Ma B was serving the Lord. You know, we never retire serving the Lord. We never do pull back. We are always in service. We may not have a position or a job, or we may be in retirement, or we may have that years and years away and be very busy in our work, but even then, we are serving the Lord. We serve the Lord no matter what, no matter where. The second passage comes from the book of Romans. Romans 15, Paul's prayer for unity following Christ. And this one in particular is for all of us. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mind you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's high desire for followers of Christ is for them to be in unity with one another. Following Christ is never meant to be a solo trip or something that you divide up into groups that don't get along with each other. We are to be in community, drawing strength and encouragement from each other. And this will glorify God and our Lord Jesus. And Jesus himself said that others will know that you're my followers by your love for one another. That's how people will know. To do this, we need the practice of mutual grace, giving others the grace that we ourselves have received. Paul says this in verse 7, "Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Jesus taught his disciples, "When you're praying, if you hold anything against others, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So there's no room for grudges. There's no room for carrying some kind of offense for a long time. You got to get over it and go on, because we belong to the Lord. We are all his. So to draw this meditation to a conclusion, and I worried about this when I decided to do a meditation, because I thought, there's going to be people out there who say, "Why didn't you do a meditation every Sunday? This is nice and quick." Okay, I can hear that. To draw a conclusion to this meditation, we are friends in Christ in the journey of life. That's that road that goes along. There's two pathways, side by side. May we show our love of him in our love for each other. As we love the Lord, let us love each other. And may we give each other the grace which we ourselves have received. And may we be true friends at all times. A friend loveth at all times, hard times, bad times. In all the seasons of life, young or old, in between, and whatever we may face, whatever it is that we're facing, may we be there for each other. There's a touching scene where Jonathan learns that his father is chasing David in the wilderness, and he seeks out David to encourage him in the Lord. It would have been easy for Jonathan to say, "Oh, well, I better stay away from him. That's my dad hates that guy." But instead, he went to him. He risked his own skin in order to encourage his friend in the Lord. May we do the same sort of thing. So we close with the words from 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Very simple words. So let's turn to the pastor's report for 2019. I'm not going to read it. You've had it for a week, hopefully, and you've read it. And I'll just maybe draw out a few highlights and then do some sharing toward the end from the past. So this pastor's report for 2019, it seems that I have need to shuffle my papers here. I hope you don't mind. Worship and discipleship during 2019. We had meaningful worship and warm fellowship. Sunday school classes taught by committed teachers. 5 Bible study groups that met consistently. Got into each other's lives in the Word. Missions, that's at the core of our being. We are the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We had several missionaries over the course of time this year. Our Thanksgiving in November, the dinner that we had was a lavish event, and we inducted 4 new members in the church, and that was on that same day, and we had a baptism that day. Over the time of the church, with these different things, these different outreaches, we had the Living Nativity and the Candlelight Communion service in December, and Christmas family program. Church life, 2 retreats this year, the Ladies Bible Study at Mariner's Grove, and the 4-day weekend for the men at Conconelli Lake in memory of Bud Powell. What a great time that is. I didn't get to go to the women's, but and I understand they did pedicures and manicures and had a lot of fun with each other here in town. The men went off on a long trip and to a beautiful place, and it's great. There's something about sitting around a campfire in the evening, singing and praising God and telling stories. It draws people together in wonderful ways. We also had 2 dearly loved people in our fellowship pass away this year. John Rowe, husband of Barb, on May 4th. And then a week later, we honored Shirley Edmondson, who passed away, and we honored her at Staffholt. And then facility care and improvements. The 5% savings account was the beginning point of 3 big improvements. They happened in the last couple of years. A new roof, new chairs, and new carpeting. So some big things have been done. We also had a major improvement when the nursery playground, which is really run down, was refurbished by a certain chap named Charlie Padilla and his family as an Eagle Scout project, and it made all the difference. It's a wonderful facility for our church, a great addition. In operations, well, we always are grateful for our music team, for the deacons and deaconesses, for the elders, the governing board, the treasurers, the Sunday school teacher, people that work week after week after week to keep things going in the church. So I want to go back now to past special times. As I look back over these 25 years, several things stand out. And I'm not going to dwell on a lot of them, but the Christmas dinner boxes, they were one of them. Just 15 years, I think we did that. And it wasn't with money from the church. But we were able to hand out thousands of dinner boxes that had several meals in them, high-quality food, and that was for the community here in Blaine. Of course, we had lots of help from the Boy Scouts and our own sweat and blood as we poured it into handling all that food. But it was a wonderful way for us to serve the community. We just couldn't keep it going, like some things. And so that fell by the wayside. We've had some really good, faithful group leaders. Bud was one. This is talking about this 25-year period. KD and Marla and James and Keith. We've had some great, faithful group leaders. And we've had some amazing secretaries over that time. We had Alice and Tina and Marla and Chris. These amazing women who never got paid what they were worth. Never got paid for the hours they worked. Just as a labor of love. Put in many, many, many hours in meeting lots of needs and doing creative things. Speaking of creative, we had Art and Faith Time Sundays that we did that several years, thanks to Marla and KD. The church garden, you know, whatever their church in town has a church garden. We had one for many years and still out there and may still be revived. Marla was the key to that as well. The 4th of July parades, remember those? We'd take the bus and we had these big, huge flags and we'd go down and hand out the flyers for day camp. We had missionary trips to Tanzania, East Africa, and Bolivia, South America. Wonderful times that we took trips with the youth and with several other people as well. Hope to have one of those coming up in Puerto Rico, to put a little plug in there for Sergio and Victoria. Missionary speakers, we had Debbie Vick and Debbie Bays and Don and Margie Cook and the Freebergs in China and Tibet and Myanmar and the other Freebergs in East Africa and the Kronbachs in Mali and Monty and Shelley Mathis in China and the Merrills in Russia and the Eyrigs in Sudan and many others over the years. We had a parade of missionaries coming through our church and we were always generous in the support we gave to the missionaries who came here. I think the average amount of money that they were given was well over $1,000 each time they came. So we are known as a generous congregation. And then there's some regular events that we've done. The candlelight communion services with artwork and scripture passages read from the congregation and singing of carols and music. Christmas Eve and on Good Friday. Those are very special times. The living nativity just took on basically a life of its own. It doesn't take an awful lot of work to pull it off. And every year it is a way of blessing this community. People look forward to it. They make it an annual event to come. And then the Thanksgiving roundtable worship services that started with Tana Renault and were continued. Those have been very special times. So I'm winding it down now. There's three things that I would have done differently as I look back at it. I think I would have created a church crisis by having a paid youth group leader, even though we couldn't afford it. We always stayed within our budget, but it would have been better for us to take the risk and say, we're going to do this because it's necessary for our church and the health of our church to have a hired youth group leader. I think that was a mistake. I think that I should have involved the elders more in pastoral care. There's lots of pastoral care that's needed in our congregation. And I look forward to how Ken is going to be improving that for the elders. And I think the Awana program, which was a going concern when I became the pastor, people just were worn out. They were just worn out from doing it. But we could have found something similar to be a regular outreach in the community for just kids on a weekly basis, something that the kids could come and have fun and learn the Bible. They do that at day camp, but it would have been better to have something consistently throughout the week, the year. Two things that I hope you will never say after I retire. Charles didn't do it that way. Don't ever say that. I'm not going to be the pastor anymore. Ken's going to be the interim, and then you're going to have a new pastor. Don't ever bring up, Charles didn't do it that way. He's gone. You've got new leadership coming. Embrace the new leadership. Support them. Be willing to make changes. Don't ever say, well, that's not the way we used to do it with Charles. No. Nothing is sacred. There's not anything I've listed here that's sacred. The living nativity, the communion services with candlelight, all of that. There's not any of that that's sacred. The new leadership may have a different way of doing it and a better way of doing it. So we've got to be open to that. Some events should be set aside. The other thing that I don't want to ever hear is complaints. To me or to Margaret. We can't listen to those. Please don't try to draw us into that. You have good people taking leadership. The transition committee is doing a good job. The governing board is committed. Did you know that we had 100% response from the nominating committee when we asked people to serve again or be in a new position? 100% yes. There's a strong sense of commitment to this congregation. So please don't come to me with complaints or to Margaret. We can't listen to it. And I say I'm emphasizing this because that particular thing split this church years and years ago, just before Margaret and I arrived. We didn't know what had happened, but we learned. This church went through a split, a painful split, just before we came. And it set us back for years. It took years. I don't think we ever did completely recover from that. Don't be carrying complaints. And don't let us complain to you or you complain to us. Those kill fellowship. Take your complaints, and you may have legitimate complaints. Take them to the leadership. Take them to the interim pastor, to Ken. Take them to the elders. Don't take them to other people. Take them to somebody that can do something about it. And if you're not strong enough and willing to do that, then your complaint is probably not valid. And you just need to shut up. I'm sorry, that's strong language. This church paid a huge price for the complaining that went on after Mark Bassett became the pastor. And one thing I strongly encourage all of you, stay committed to Northwood. We need you. This is not a time to cut and run. This is a time that Northwood needs people to stay true, to be committed, to see it through, to be here, to be with your leadership. And I think that has to happen by having friends in Christ, practicing the very things that we talked about in the meditation, giving the same grace that we have received, and being committed and loyal, and doing it all to bring glory to Christ Jesus. So I'm fun. I'm finished. I just have to say this. I'll tell a little story. I have been deeply honored. My wife and I have been, and privileged to serve as the pastor of Northwood Alliance Church. I didn't start off feeling that way. I came to love it more and more as time went on. I want to tell this little sequence of stories. I call it the sweet, the funny, and the dinky. I had Bev Clark one time. Bev's here today. Where is she? There she is. You know Bev. Sweet, lovely Bev. And one time, I'm talking to Bev, and she poked her finger in my chest, and she said, "Oh, Charles, you are my sweet little pastor." Now, I am still a man. I may be a pastor, but I'm still a... No man likes to be called sweet little. So I don't carry it as a grudge, but I know you were saying something nice, Bev, but anyway, it stayed with me. Another time, my daughter came from, I don't know if it was back from China or from Hawaii, Catherine. And she just came and she just was so excited. She said, "Oh, don't you just love our funny little town?" And I thought, well, I guess it is a funny little town. This is, you know, it's kind of different with the border and kids going from Point Roberts to school here and lots of things that happen, people digging tunnels under the border and doing things. There's strange things that take place here. So it is a funny little town. And the third one was Becky. Becky Terry. Pete's here. So Becky Terry had not been going to church here for a while. She'd switched to another church to be with her daughter. And she ran into me one day, and she said to me, "Charles, are you still at that dinky little church?" I said, I wasn't quick enough to say, "Yeah, I am. I like that dinky little church, by the way." So the little, the dinky, the sweet, I've got a little life left, and I intend to live it in a way that is serving the Lord. And I am so grateful that I have so many friends in Christ. And I pray that we all can practice that kind of friendship with each other, that we remain friends in Christ at all times, supporting each other, loving each other, encouraging each other, helping in practical ways, sometimes just making a phone call, sometimes going for coffee, sometimes taking food, sometimes giving money, whatever it is. May we be friends in Christ first and foremost as a congregation. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us to each other. And may we be faithful and true to Christ Jesus as we follow him on this journey of life. And may we be good friends in Christ, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to call our interim director of the Alliance Northwest, the field director. Come forward.
Thank you, Charles. Well, this is a great honor to be here this morning, and for many reasons, obviously. And so thank you for your welcome to us, and it's really an honor to be here just to celebrate Charles and Margaret and the final Sunday, and to be able just to receive and hear these great and gracious words. I've walked there as well. We served in a church for 21 years, and I can recall that last Sunday and how special that is. And this will be a milestone in your lives for years to come. Even just the day together, being able to say these things and honor one another. And, you know, nobody stays at a church for 21 years, 25 years, unless the seedbed of that is trust and love. So it's a statement that you have been a family together with Charles and Margaret through the ups and downs of ministry life and all kinds of things, but you have maintained a sweet spirit of love and grace and trust in one another. So it's an honor just to witness that today and be here to participate. You've said a lot of good things, Charles, and I know today is not a day necessarily set aside to celebrate you guys. My understanding is that's going to come on March 1st, and you'll have another opportunity to kind of circle around and gather around them and celebrate these many years together. Today is a bit different than that, but certainly can't help but honor you in some ways and just express our gratitude, too, for your faithful service here. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
You know, transitions in the life of a church, turning points, I think, is the word Charles has used already. Transitions, turning points are actually very important in a church. In any of our lives, transitions are important. We transition through different stages of life. It's how we mature. It's how we grow. It comes with life. In every aspect, in every avenue of life, transitions happen. And while we may not look forward to them because we might like the way things are or whatever, transitions sort of force us to face new canyons to cross and new transitions toward a whole different, maybe moving across the country or a whole different life that we otherwise would never experience, we'd never walk in, and those are all part of God's good grace to lead us in those transitions. And so we come to another in this season of life at your church, and it brings a measure of both grief and loss, as well as sort of an anticipation of what could be next. So transitions always carry with them these mixed emotions as well. And I just want to encourage you as a church to experience the grief and the loss that transition brings. It's okay. It's part of the process. It's part of the way you should feel. I always say to people, every time there's a pastoral transition, there will be people that are mad, sad, and glad. So we all have different reactions to what's going on, and we might be mad that he's leaving, we might be glad that Charles is stepping out, and glad for a new day, and all those kinds of different emotions, but we all experience some measure of sadness and grief and loss when things change, because it's not the same. And that's very normal, it's very good. It's good to cry together, it's good to talk about those things, it's good to express those things, but to know that, well, that just comes with the territory of transitions. And then there's also the joy of looking forward to what might be next as God continues to orchestrate his plan among you. And that's good too. It's good to look forward to that and be anticipatory in those kinds of things. So, as a part of this transition, we do want to take a few moments here to commission or install Pastor Ken Crandall as your interim pastor. And there's just two aspects of this that I would like to lead you through in these few moments. One is a challenge or a charge to you as a congregation. Similar words that I might say if I return and you install a permanent pastor. But I would like to bring a charge to you this morning as well, because I think any time there's a change of leader in the church, there is some responsibility you hold about how that might go. We are asking you to embark in a new relationship with a new lead pastor, an interim pastor in Ken, and that will require some things of you that are very, very important. And then I'll bring a charge to Ken as well and bring him up here in just a moment. But in 1 Thessalonians, just let me read this. I don't have it on the screen behind me, but two verses there. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And then in Hebrews 13, another two verses about our leaders. It's a pretty strong word, but it says, obey your leaders in the Lord, and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. And then that passage also ends the same way, just about pray for us. So here's just a few charges that I would bring to you. Respect Ken as your interim leader. Respect him as a leader in your life. Respect him as one whom God has placed here with spiritual authority in your life. Honor him in public and private. Respect him as one who is called to serve as a leader and a shepherd, a gift from God to you. Honor him as one who is over, accept his authority spiritually in your life to speak into your life. Let him speak into your life, just as you've let Charles speak into your life. Be a person of humility and grace that allows Ken to be God's spokesman to speak into your life as might be needed. The result of that humble response will be spiritual blessing. It always is. These two passages encourage us to bring joy to his life, and we do that by loving him and his wife, Kit. We do that by taking a personal interest in them. We do that by pursuing friendships with them. We do that by opening our home to them, inviting them into our life and journey. Learn to love them well. Give them reasons to rejoice in you, in your friendship. And then the whole idea of living at peace with one another. You know, there's nothing that dampens the work of the Holy Spirit among us more than a contentious spirit. That saps emotional and spiritual energy from our relationships. It doesn't have place within the kingdom Jesus life that we're on together. It is not a model of the way Jesus would conduct relationships. And it saps us of the energy and the and brings a sense of lack of peace. So let me just encourage you to be peacemakers. Be people who are not divided, but people who are united, as Charles reminded us of already from Romans. And then pray. Pray like crazy together. Just pray that God would orchestrate his plan among you. He's got this. You can be at peace with him. And I believe that as you pray together, God will give you as a congregation a great peace as you walk through this transition. You know, we don't have to have all this stuff figured out when we walk into transitions and things that are new. We just need to have an open hand with God and allow him to orchestrate his plan. And we do that maybe most effectively when we get on our knees and we pray. And we walk through this thing together in prayer. Pray especially for Pastor Ken, that he will be full of wisdom. Pray that he'll have the strength and the stamina he needs physically, emotionally, and spiritually in this transition. Pray that he'll find favor with you as a congregation and in this community with people who come and go. Pray for spiritual protection over him and his wife as well. I'd like to invite you to stand, and I'm going to read several statements, and I'd like you to respond, if you will, with the word amen. The word amen simply means let it be so. And if I read a statement, I'd like you to respond after each statement with that word, amen. If I read a statement that you feel like you cannot fully agree with or participate in any way, just remain silent at that point. And I just would like you to have this opportunity to respond before the Lord to these commitments in regards to your new leader, Pastor Ken. We agree to submit to your God-given spiritual authority as our interim pastor. We agree to serve beside you in advancing God's kingdom through the ministries of our church, using the gifts, the time, and resources God has given each of us. Amen. As our spiritual leader, we invite you to speak into our lives as God may lead you. Amen. We will pray diligently for you, asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and empower your preaching, your teaching, your counsel, and your decision making. As opportunities allow, we will develop friendships with you and your wife so you feel loved and cared for during your time with us. Amen. We will not instigate or participate in rumors, gossip, factions, or disunity within the church, but instead live at peace with you. Amen. As God enables, we will give of our financial resources to help strengthen the ministries of our church during this season of transition. In short, we will do all we can to make your time with us a blessing as we model the power of God's grace toward one another and toward those in our community and around the world. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Pastor Ken to come up and join me here. You have met Ken before and has been here at least once or twice to speak in the past.
Once.
Just once. Yeah. Well,
so is this legitimate?
This is legit. This is legit.
Acting field director and an acting pastor. Is this okay?
It's okay. Yeah. And yeah, nobody needs to know if it's not.
Okay.
Yes, Pastor Ken and I have known each other for some time, and this is a joy to see how God has orchestrated this opportunity for him to step in and do pulpit supply and some leadership work among you, and to allow the Gibsons to sit in the back row and sort of become part of the congregation as they once were in the past as well. So Ken and Kit are special people, and God has just orchestrated this opportunity for you, Ken, and we're glad for that. And we'll be there to coach and walk beside you along the way. I'm reminded this morning of a passage in 1 Peter that's really for elders, but it says this: be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, and then some negatives, but some contrast to that. But not because you must. Be shepherds, not because you must, but because you're willing and God wants you to be. And not greedy for money, but eager to serve. And not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when, here's the promise, when the chief shepherd, that's a great reminder as well, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades away. I hope you catch that in this passage, along with many other passages in the New Testament, shepherds are people that are called of God. They are to serve as leaders among us. It is the way that Jesus has designed the church to function. And the important part of this is that shepherds are then to be the under-shepherds under the chief shepherd. Ken, this is not your church. This is his church. You are an under-shepherd. And there are dark sides of all of our lives, right? And some of those dark tendencies are reiterated here. Some shepherds, as you may have met over the years, can be greedy for money. It's why they do what they do, and they take advantage of the sheep. This is a very clear passage. Those kinds of attitudes and approaches are not to be part of a true shepherd under the shepherd of Christ. So my challenge, my charge to you, Ken, I'll read some statements as well, and I want you to just be able to respond with God's help, I will, to these statements as I read them. But you've been challenged and charged by God, as you well know. These characteristics have already been demonstrated in your life and ministry over the years. It's one of the reasons we're comfortable and excited and recognize that God has called you here. You're the kind of person that God has raised up, that's been proven in your life. Your willingness to serve, your eagerness to serve, you're not greedy for money, you're not doing this for those reasons, you're not doing this for power, fame, or your own reputation. You're doing this just as a servant, to serve the church that you love because God has called you to that.
By grace.
Yeah. So will you shepherd this congregation in this season of transition, willingly, without begrudgingly?
I will.
Will you oversee this congregation by lovingly and graciously serving them as God has intended?
I will.
Will you discharge your calling here in an attitude of trusting God to meet your financial needs and resisting the temptation to pursue financial gain?
I will.
Will you refrain from lording it over these who are entrusted to you, but rather humbly and graciously lead them by example?
I will.
And will you serve this flock as an under-shepherd in the likeness of Jesus himself, by humbly following Jesus in your own journey of life transformation.
By grace, I will.
Yeah. It's a high and holy calling, and I want to pray for you. Would you stand? And if you're one of the elders or on the governing board, would you make your way up here and let's just lay our hands on our brother, and let's have Charles and Margaret come as well, please. And your spouses are welcome to come as well, please. All righty. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we give you thanks for our brother Ken. We thank you for he and Kit. We celebrate the fact that you have called them to serve you in these many years. They have demonstrated already a caring, loving, humble spirit, full of your grace, full of your empowering. I know that Ken is humbled to even be prayed over this morning, humbled to recognize again, once anew, the calling upon his life as a shepherd. What a great honor. We respect, Lord, his role in our life as a congregation, believing that you indeed have orchestrated this day, this moment, this milestone for us and for him. And so our prayer, Father, is that you would indeed empower him, fill him with your spirit in a new measure, in a new way, in this new season. And may he know the flood of peace that only you can bring. May he know the undergirding of strength that you provide as divine life within his body. We pray for strength physically and emotionally and spiritually. We pray for protection. We pray for wisdom. We pray for unity in this fellowship together in this season. We pray for opportunities to continue to be stretched and grow. And that as he does and he humbly approaches those things, that you indeed will accomplish new things within him, transforming him more and more into the likeness of Jesus. So we receive him from you this morning as a gift to this body. And we raise him up before you and ask that in every way he would know your strength and know your blessing and know your favor, and that you would anoint this time by your presence and by your spirit, this season of transition. Guide him, guide the leadership here, guide this fellowship into a new future that honors and glorifies the name of Jesus, maybe in ways that they could never imagined or even have thought. So, Lord, we believe that you are transitioning this church into a new season of ministry and life together that will honor you, and you want to use Ken in this process. So fill him with all that he needs. Bless him and use him among us, we pray, in the precious name of our chief shepherd, Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thanks
Amen.
So much.
Yep. We all need criers. Thank you all.
Not very many of them.
Key to the church.
That's great. I don't know if you want to say anything, but you're welcome to.
I think that there is a benediction according to the program. So we'll do that, but first I'd just like to thank God. Can I do that with you? Lord, just thank you for your mercy and grace. And Lord, you're so personal to us, and you are so close through your Spirit. And I pray that that would be exactly what we experience together in these months to come. And Lord, you reminded me how closely related anxiety and excitement are as I drove up here today. And Lord, how often I need that anxiety transformed into excitement. And this time and this prayer has accomplished that because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to close with the doxology and the benediction. And we're all. take a few minutes to get the table set up here.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.